Because he's not done with Israel. But again, what does this have to do with us? Chapter 13, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Does that sound familiar? That was mentioned in the New Testament. When Jesus died, the disciples ran. I will turn my hand against the little ones. Chapter 14, for I will gather all nations. Oh, now we're getting somewhere else. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken and the house plundered and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall be cut off from the city. So some will go into probably Bozra, because he's coming out of Bozra, remember, later on. He's going to go save them. So now we find him in Egypt, in Bozra. That's Jordan. And then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. That's Yahweh with the sword. On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move north and the other move south. And then the day of the Lord. And then the day of the Lord. Now you have a picture of Zechariah. You got a whole picture of Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 1. Now we're going to drill down a little bit and see what it looks like in the context of the king coming on a donkey. Okay? So, in the context of 2 weeks ago, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and then him dying on the cross that weekend and rising from the dead on the eighth day, the first day of the week, in that context is the context of our king on a donkey. Oh, I said it, didn't I? Our king on a donkey. The oracle of the word of the Lord is against the hand of Hadrach in Damascus. It is its resting place. Where is that? Syria. Damascus still stands today. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. For the Lord has an eye on mankind and all the tribes of Israel. So, in the context of Jesus coming on the donkey, he starts with Syria. You see, you and I, we want to go because it's easy for us. We don't have to study and we don't have to think about things that don't make sense. We go in and we find chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, and we see him riding on a donkey, and we own that. Here's my question. Do you own that? Do we own this? Do we understand this? Something is wrong in Damascus. Did you know that the end of David's reign, his final battles were in Syria and along the valley of the Euphrates? Did you know that Abraham, that's where he conquered those enemies when he had to rescue Lot? What does it mean? It's typology. It means when the Messiah comes, he's going to finish the work. The problem is already there. Just like Gary said this morning, the problem is already in Babylon. It's still there in Babylon. For the Lord has an eye on mankind and all the tribes of Israel, and on Hamath, again Syria also, which borders on it, and Tyre and Sidon, where's that? Along the coast of Israel, northern Israel, which borders on it, though they are very wise. See, he's mocking them. Oh, you think you're all that. Tyre has built herself a rampart and heaped up silver like the dust and fine gold like the mud of the streets. Now this is going to throw you off, because it does me and it does everybody. It does all the commentaries. All the commentaries. Because it's true and not yet. See, Tyre was on the coast. And they were getting sick and tired of being ransacked. So they said, okay, let's build this city out in the water. So they build it out in the water, put the castle up there. The king of Tyre is out there. There's this little... they had to get there mostly by boat and all that, and it's built out there, and they think they're safe and secure. They got all their gold and treasure out there. And then the Lord, I want you to see something here. I'm going to go back. The Lord has promised that something's going to happen to Tyre. Tyre has built herself a rampart. Okay? So she thinks she's safe. All right? Now, there's a near prophecy mentioned that Alexander is going to come down, and he did. He came down, and he said, how am I going to conquer this wise king? So he built a rampart out there. He dug up, he tore down a bunch of the city, and he used it to build a bridge, basically, out to this city. And then he conquered this city. How wise were they? The Lord said, I'm going to take you down. But see, here's the problem. We look at this, and it did happen. And almost every commentary I saw said, this is done. And in fact, Damascus was done. So all of this was done. Well, I have a question for them. When was the donkey, the king riding on the donkey, when was that done? When do we project into the future, and at what point do we stop, and do we talk about a little king of Tyre who you and I don't even know and really could honestly care less about? We like Alexander because he was he's a big name. We could kind of hook on to him. But what about this, and what about Tyre? Folks, what's wrong today in Tyre? What's wrong today in Syria? Nothing has changed. So, okay, Lord, so your prophecy about all this has left nothing changed. You see? With these people who come along and say, well, this is all done and we don't have to look for anything forward in the future, I would say you're missing a huge boat. And you're missing, to me, all of the fun. All of the fun. Because this is not done. Behold, the Lord will strip her of her possessions and strike down her power on the sea, and she shall be devoured by fire. That was done. Oh, now, you see, Ascalon shall see it. Okay, now he's added somebody else. He says, Ascalon be afraid, and Gaza too, and shall writhe in pain, and Ekron too. Uh-oh, where is she? So see, this is all down the coast. This is all down the coast because its hopes are confounded. The king shall perish from Gaza. Gaza still, we know where that's at, right? Gaza's a bad place today, right? Ascalon shall be uninhabited. Okay, commentators, talk to me about Ascalon. Talk to me about Gaza. A mixed people shall dwell in Ashdod along the coast, and I will cut off the pride of Philistia. Okay, talk to me about these people. Because there's Ascalon today. There's Ascalon today. So, Lord, you didn't mean what you said. Because Tyre's built up. It's not on the sea anymore, but it's on the sea. It's on the beach. Ashkelon is 500,000 people, or not that many. I think it was 250,000 or something like that. It's a big city. So, Lord, you didn't mean that. Gaza is... Have you seen Gaza? More people live in Gaza, in that little stretch of people per square mile, than any place, I think, in the world, but I would say definitely in the Middle East. So, Lord, you didn't mean what you're saying. Because all these commentators, they've got it squared. And all these churches, they're only going to claim chapter 9, verse 9. No. We're going to claim it all. We're going to claim it all. I will take away its blood from its mouth. They're idolaters. They're eating sacrificed meat, and its abominations from between its teeth. It too shall be a remnant for our God. Is Gaza a remnant for God now? Is Ashdod? It shall be like a clan in Judah, and Ekron shall be like the Jebusites. Gone. Then I will encamp at my house as a guard, so that none shall march to and fro. No oppressor shall again march over them, for now I see with my own eyes. Are you going to claim this? You bet we're going to claim this. So how are we going to claim this? This is a spiritual context. This is metaphor. Where's God's house? It's in heaven. It's in heaven. Well, why is he jealous over Jerusalem then? Why is the daughter of Zion so important to him? Because the prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. And the king, when he came back, you know, from the dead, he rose physically from the dead. And he's coming back physically. Physically. So just for a second, church, not very long. Don't do this very long, okay? Just for a second, set yourselves aside. Put yourself on the sideline for a second. Just in your imagination. And ask yourself, is this king coming back to the planet? And what's he going to do when he does? And I just read it to you. I just read what Jesus Christ is going to do. And he's going to do it with Israel. He's going to make them a burning pot among the wood. He's going to take back Jerusalem and destroy his enemies. Just like David did. Read 1 Chronicles 18 through 27. And see what David did. He didn't finish. But see, Jesus said, all of these things, what? Speak of me. If you want to see Jesus Christ, if you want to look at his character and what he's done and going to do, you've got to get into the Old Testament. We're going to get back to Jude next week. Remember, there we find out that he was with them in the Old Testament and he punished them. I will encamp at my house. Then our verse. Rejoice. Rejoice greatly. You see the connection? This king who rode on a donkey of peace had to sacrifice himself for our sins to make atonement for his people. First. His people first. To Jerusalem first. That's where the word was. Take it to them first. And then others. O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation, he is humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt and the foal of a donkey. Verse 10. Okay, you see, we claimed verse 9, but now we're done, right? The church has to be done because we don't get this part. He's not the king of war. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. Does that sound like peace? Here's what happens. The Messiah is going to come back as the king on a horse. Revelation 19. He's coming back on a horse. He's going to be victorious over his city with his people. And by the way, that's when you come with him. So there's a clue. You're included with him. And the battle, he will cut off the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. Afterwards, now watch. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Is that literal on the planet? Well, the king and the donkey was. The king on the donkey was literal. So something still has to happen. He isn't done. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Verse 12. Return to your strongholds, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double, for I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim my arrow. Is that literal? It's metaphorical for something that's going to happen in the future, just like the donkey was and the king. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. You go to most of the commentaries, and you know what they say about this? That this happened, that this is over. Because Alexander And the Seleucids and the Ptolemies came down there and took over. And you remember the Maccabees? How they rose up for, I can't remember, between 4 and 6 years. They rose up and they took back the temple. You remember that? They say this was done then. Okay, this was done then. I get it. But how about the prior verses? Was that done then? You see, we can't steal verses. We can't steal ideas. If they don't make sense to us, we've got to start painting a picture that does make sense. Then the Lord will appear over them. Did he do that in the day of the Maccabees? And his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour and tread down the sling stones, and they shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine, and be like full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. They're just rejoicing in verse 15 there. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people, for like the jewels of a crown they come, they shall shine on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women. Did that happen? Let's stop stealing verses. Let's go into Micah chapter 5, where we find Bethlehem of Judah, a little baby story of this king, and read the rest of it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and start back where the problem is, where the king of Assyria is coming, and how the king of Jesus Christ is going to come and take care of the problem. Because that's where you find Matthew, it says, the virgin will be with child. Let's stop stealing verses. Let's stop stealing promises. Let's take what is given to us, and it's glorious. But let's not call God a liar. Let's not put him in the column of the wide avenue of lies. It's all truth. It is all truth, and it's just not understood. How about us then? Romans 8:17. And if we are children, by the way, this is written by a Jew who spent some time with Jesus in Saudi Arabia and in the third heaven, if I remember right, right? And if we are children, then we are heirs. You're adopted. Now, think about this. I have adopted kids. And I love them as much as I do my own. Probably not as much as God loves his own adopted. Back then, back in those days when you adopted somebody, they were your crown. They were your inheritance. They got your inheritance. When Jesus adopted you, you were no longer just a stepson or my son-in-law or anything like that. You were sons and daughters. John chapter 1, he gave you the authority. The word is authority. He gave you the authority to become children of God. So now watch. You're adopted in. You're adopted in. Okay, Lord. I got your name. Watch. Then we are heirs. Heirs of God. What's an heir? That word means something. You inherit something. You inherit something. And co-heirs with Christ. What's that mean? That we're brothers with Jesus Christ. Sisters with Jesus Christ. And he calls you friends. If indeed we suffer with him. That suffer without sin, what it means is we endure life, we endure temptation, we're going to fall and all those things, but we endure to the end so that we may be glorified with him. 2 Timothy 2, this is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's how we get in. Oh, let's see, I got it. So 2 weeks ago, the donkey came in. The King of Peace came in. He offered to his children the prostitute Israel. Okay, here's the king. Here's your, I want you to come back. And they said, we don't want anything to do with you. And Jesus said, okay, your house is left to you desolate. By the way, I'll be back. And then he dies on the cross. He raises from the dead. And then he tells his disciples, go preach to the nations because they've rejected me. For now, it's not over. Because remember, the covenant is an unconditional covenant. Jeremiah 31. The one to Abraham is an unconditional covenant. You can't do it on your own, he told Israel. I'm not doing it because you're righteous or anything like that. I'm doing it because I want to, for my namesake. So I'm going to go turn to the goy. That's you. And he turns to us. He offers us to come in. Here we are, like little sheep coming in. We claim him as king. The Jews don't like us. They're jealous of that. And they're going to be jealous. Especially when we're gone. You know, where'd they go? Uh-oh, we missed the boat. And then they're going to start crying for their king. Their king. But we're already going to be with the king. You see? That's how we get in. But we don't steal verses. We don't steal what isn't ours. Romans 11:16. If the first part of the dough is holy, so is the whole batch. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Israel, the root. You and I are the branches. Now, if some branches have been broken off, and you a wild olive shoot, and some of us a little wilder than others, have been grafted in among the others to share in the nourishment of the olive root, do not boast about those branches. If you do, remember this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And I'm telling you right now that I would say over 3/4 of the church, and I would say even more, 80 to 85, 90% of the church is claiming no. We are the heirs of the Bible. We got a vicar sitting up there someplace in the place of Christ, thinking that they speak for Jesus and that the Israelites have no way with him anymore. And you know what? That is a lie. And do we want all the truth, or do we want partial lies, which are all lies? This is coming down. This is coming down to us. In a very terrible way, it's going to turn out good, but it's going to turn out, it's going to come to us in a very terrible way. Deuteronomy 9, I read Exodus 19:5. Now if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possessions out of all the nations, for the whole earth is mine. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. Exodus 19:5. However, Peter calls us what? A kingdom of priests. Listen, the Jews don't like us in that fact because we're stealing promises. Some of us are just stealing some of the promises. The rest of the nations don't like us because they think that we have the only way to heaven. They don't like Jesus. They're going to persecute him. They're going to persecute us. But what you and I need to do is understand all of Scripture, all of what it says. And it's not all done. It is all still coming. There are more prophecies to be fulfilled in Christ's second coming than all of the rest of them put together in the past. Folks, we have so much to look forward to. Let's not steal promises. Let's claim him as our Father, because he is. Let's claim Christ as our King, because we're going to reign with him because of his blood. And let's claim him as Israel's King to come, of which you and I will be witnesses and partakers. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for a full picture of what is coming. And there's other parts that we can read and go understand. And I pray that this has just opened the hearts of us all and others, Lord God, to understand your whole word. May we be not just pickers, picking what we like, finding stuff that we like and makes sense and that we've heard for the last 50 years. Lord, it all means something. It all leads to you coming and then coming again. And we're so grateful and we worship your holy name. Be with each heart here. May we be full of joy and grace going out into these wonderful summer days, spring days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.